Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Did you know, maybe you've heard, there are three wonders in heaven, three surprises, three mysteries. I like to call them three shocks in heaven. First wonder is this. Hey, how did you get into heaven? How did you get here? Who let you in? Look. Matthew 21, the very words of Jesus Christ, Christ is addressing the teachers of the law and the chief priests, okay, very religious Jewish people. He said, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. In the book of Matthew, he keeps talking about the tax collectors and prostitutes. There were no worse sinners in that day than tax collectors and prostitutes. So wonder number one, how did you get in here? I thought you lived your life like a prostitute, like a tax collector. So irreligious. How did you get in here? Wonder number two. Hey, where's Pastor V? I thought I was going to say, hello, Pastor V, good to see you in heaven. Give me five. Where is Victor Co? Jesus' own words, again from the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not in your name drive out demons? And did we not in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Only for me, you evildoers. Look at that. That's wonder number two. Where's Victor go? He did all the right things. He obeyed God. He did all these things in the name of Jesus. He talked to people in the name of Jesus. He preached in the name of Jesus. He counseled the people in the name of Jesus. He planted the church in the name of Jesus. And Christ may say to him, I never knew you. You evil wicked. What about you? What about you? Will people say to you, how did you get into heaven? Or will people ask about you, hey, where's so-and-so and so? Have I gotten your attention? I pray I did. This is really important. I am very thankful that we are in this teaching series called Heaven is Like, Discovering the Parables of Jesus. We are going through the book of Matthew, and I'll say more about the book of Matthew as to its distinctives and its unique characteristics. We're going to go through the book of Matthew, and we're going to hit seven parables of Jesus Christ. And they all start with the same phrase, Christ saying, teaching, declaring, the kingdom of heaven is like dot, dot, dot. What's a parable? Parable is a teaching technique, teaching tool of the rabbi. It's a story, simple, short story, which is very familiar, with which people are very familiar, because in the story, in a parable, everything is in the modern day, present day stuff. But the point of the parable is to paint, to picture, to draw a reality that will correspond to the story, so that people may discover the truth about the kingdom of Jesus. What is the kingdom of heaven? So here's one definition. Would you please write these words? And may I recommend, might I suggest, that you download the Sermon Outline by going to the resources. Write these words. The kingdom of heaven is the domain of the king over which he rules and reigns. What's a kingdom? Kingdom is a territory. Kingdom is a land. Kingdom is a nation. Kingdom is, the best word is domain, sphere of influence over which the king, the kingdom, rules and reigns. That's a kingdom. And in the book of Matthew, more than any other gospel writers, more than any other books in the Bible, Matthew focuses on, emphasizes on, the concept, the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. He writes about it more than 53 times, more than any other Bible writers. And that's because I believe Matthew wants you and me to really grasp and understand and embrace and live out the power of the king right here, right now. And Jesus keeps saying in the book of Matthew, kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven starts here. Is heaven a place where you go after you die? Yes, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It is a place. It's a real place. It's an actual location, place. You go there, I pray, but it starts right here, right now. It's the domain. The Lord's Prayer reminds us. We pray, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Christ says, in my preaching, in my healing, in my ministry, kingdom of heaven has come. It has been inaugurated, as it were, right here. So would you write these words? The kingdom of heaven is both present and future, both now and not yet. It is here and it is future. It is also already happening now, but not fully. So therefore, not yet. So I'm going to take you to Matthew 13. There are seven parables in this one chapter. And we're going to get to the parable of the fishing net, the drag net. And as I read it, would you picture it? Use the picture it method. See yourself in the story. Here's the context. Jesus is teaching the people. There are so many people that came to hear Jesus talk and preach and proclaim. He got on a boat and went offshore and is facing the people who are sitting on the beach. And he's talking, preaching, proclaiming from the boat. So this is a lake, Sea of Galilee. And everyone is familiar with fishing. Everyone's familiar with fishing nets and all that kind of stuff. So hear the word of the Lord, Matthew 13. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. And then Jesus Christ gives the explanation, the meaning of the parable. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. The theme and the goal, I believe, is this. Write these words. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. The King, Jesus Christ, gathers all in and separates the righteous and the wicked. Kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net, not just any kind of fishing net, like a dragnet. And that's because King Jesus, he's the king, and this is his domain, and this is his kingdom of heaven. And what does he do? He does two actions. One, he gathers all in, all in. Second action, he separates the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad. So let's get there. Kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. Here's a picture of it. Please take a look. There are three different kinds of fishing nets that Matthew uses. One is the casting net, and there's another net that you would take way out there into the sea on a boat. That's another kind of net. But this particular net in this parable is dragnet. It is like 100 feet long, 12 feet high, and there are weight on the bottom of the net. One end, look at the picture. One end of the net has been anchored on the ground, on the beach, and you would take a boat, and the boat would bring the other end of the net all the way out into the sea and turn around, making a C shape, and bring it back to the shore, and the people would put on both ends, hence dragnet. And everything is caught in the net. You name it, all kinds of fish, all kinds of shellfish, all kinds of rocks, all kinds of bottom feeders and everything. Now, here's what we are getting at. Jesus Christ, the King, he's gathering all kinds of people. In the parable, there's all kinds of fish were caught. You know that word, all kinds, kinds, the word in Greek is genos, say genos. It means, obviously, kind, but it can also mean people, race, and nation. Christ is saying, kingdom of heaven is like I, the King, I gather all kinds of people. And friends, this was a shocker. Because Jewish people, they thought and believed that only the Jews were saved. Only the Jews would be in heaven. Heaven is another Israel, as it were. Because you had to be a Jew to obey God's commands. And when you obey God's commands, and that's when you're accepted and welcomed into the heaven. And it was a shock and a surprise for people to hear Jesus say, all kinds of people, all kinds of race, all kinds of nations will be gathered in. That's what kingdom of heaven is. People, look at this. Listen. The King Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, he is the most welcoming, most inclusionary, most accepting person in the entire universe. He is so welcoming. He's gathering everyone to his kingdom. And that's why Matthew keep writing about the tax collectors and the prostitutes, those who didn't deserve. Christ got into so much trouble because he's always eating, drinking, hanging out with whom? The tax collectors, the prostitutes, and the sinners. People that you would not imagine would be in heaven. The sinners. Those who don't deserve God's grace and blessing because they don't obey God. They're sinners. And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to know. Everyone listening to this message right now, right here on this online, Christ is gathering you. He's inviting you. He's calling you. Come. Come into my heaven. Second point, the King Jesus Christ separates. Would you write that word? This is a key word. He separates, he sorts out the righteous and the wicked. And that's what we hear in the parable. He gives explanation in the last days. There will come a day when the angels will separate the righteous and the wicked, just like the fishermen separating the good fish and the bad fish. The Jews ate only certain kinds of fish. And there were fish declared, categorized, described as defiled, unclean. And they didn't eat those fish, such as shellfish, bottom feeders. And there they were, the fishermen on the shore, they are keeping the good fish into the basket, throwing away the bad. Just like the angels in the last days. They will separate, they will sort out, they will differentiate, distinguish two people, the righteous and the wicked. Christ talks about this also in Matthew 25. This is one of the key themes in the book of Matthew, separating peoples in the last days in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 25, But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, just like the fish. And he will what? He will what? He will do? He will separate them from one another. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. Kingdom of Heaven is the most welcoming, most accepting, and most hospitable, and most generous, and most inclusionary place and domain. At the same time, only certain kinds of people will enter it. The angels will separate the good and the bad, the righteous and the wicked. So here are the questions. Here is the question of the day. Who are then righteous? Who are then wicked? In the book of Matthew, it is clear Christ comes. And people who are flocked to Jesus Christ, they're all sinners. So righteous people are those who recognize that they are sinners and who are in a desperate need of a Savior. And because they all say to themselves, I'm a sinner. I don't obey God fully. And therefore, I need a Savior. I need a King who will save me from my misery, from my sin, and from my damnation. Those are the righteous. Not they're righteous, but they're declared righteous. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner, but only those who admit that, and only those who say, oh, King, I need you to be my Savior. They are declared righteous. Second definition is this. Christ is the only person the King himself has fulfilled and obeyed all the commandments of the Bible. And he imputes that righteousness, he transfers that credit of his righteousness to you and me. So we are declared righteous, we are made righteous by the works of Jesus Christ. And those of us who say, your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, may your will be done. May you rule and reign in my life. I submit to you. I kneel before you and I profess. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Christ is the Lord and the King of all kings. Hallelujah. Who are the wicked? Those who resist the grace of the King. Those who deny that they need a Savior. Those who do not admit that they are sinners and sinful and that they are in an absolute desperate need of a Savior. They are the wicked. The wicked are not so much about observing God's commands or not. So here, look at the Pharisees. Look at the teachers of the law. Look at the elders and the chief priests in the book of Matthew. Jesus was so harsh against them towards them. And yet, they're doing all the right things. They're obeying the Ten Commandments. They were praying three times a day, and they're fasting twice a week, and they're giving more than 10% of their income to the temple. They're doing all the right things. And yet, to them, Jesus says, you are wicked. And that's because they're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. They thought, now, since I'm obeying God, since I'm doing all these religious activities, God owes me. God better bless me. I don't need grace. I deserve God's blessing. And those people, it is inevitable, isn't it? When your performance gives you that kind of righteousness, being right with God because you obeyed, then you cannot love. Not look down on people who are not like you. You feel superior. You have this pride over against those who are not as obedient. So you're not graceful. You're not gracious. And that's why the wicked are those who say to the King, King, I don't need your grace. I don't need a Savior, and I can do just fine all by myself. Now let's take it one step farther. This is so important. So therefore, what is heaven like? What kind of people will you find in heaven? All those who say, Lord Jesus, you're my King. May your will be done. I gladly, lovingly submit myself, kneel before your kingship, your sovereign power, and I worship you. May I say, heaven is the absolute fullness of God's presence. Would you write that word? That's a good definition. Heaven is a place where there is the absolute fullness of God's presence. Here on this earth, God's presence is near, but it's not absolutely full as it is in heaven. At the same time, conversely, what is heaven then? What is hell, therefore? It's the opposite. Hell, would you write this? Hell is the absolute absence of God's presence. Hell is the absolute absence of God's presence. He is not there. His grace is not there. His goodness is not there. His blessings are not there. You know, I often hear things like this. How can a good God, the God of the Bible, how can a good God send people to hell? See, this is what's wrong with you people, Christians. This is what's wrong with the Bible. A good God will not, cannot, must not send people to hell. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? In essence, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Did you hear me right? Yes, you did. God does not send anyone to hell. Everyone who goes to hell goes there because he, she wants to go there. Have I gotten your attention? No one goes to hell because God sends them to hell. Everyone goes to hell. Those who go to hell, they do so because they want to be there. Here's what I mean. The King Jesus says to you, Victor, I love you. You need me. Only I can save you. You are going to hell without me. The absolute absence of God's presence. But I want you in heaven. The absolute fullness of God's presence, because I love you. And then here's how you know that I love you. I died for your sins on the cross, and I rose from the dead, and I am ruling and reigning over your life. Will you submit to me? Say yes to the King and love me back, Victor. That's what Jesus has done, and that's what he's doing. And Victor says to you, Jesus Christ the King, no, thank you very much. I don't need a King in my life. I don't need a Savior in my life. I hear that you love me, but I don't love you. I don't need you. In fact, I don't have anything with you. You have no part in my life. In fact, I am my own King. I have a King already, you see, and that's Victor Cohen. I am my own. I don't belong to you. And I define my own reality. I define who I am. And I am free. And I define my own freedom. I don't need you. Christ keeps coming back. Victor, I love you. Love me. No, thank you. Victor, I love you. Love me. No, thank you. And you, Victor, is very persistent. He is resisting the grace. He is resisting the goodness of the King. And at the very end, what does the King say? What does the King say? Victor, I respect your decision. Have it your way. And he lets me go. He lets me go. He is no longer pursuing after me because I have trampled upon his invitation, his goodness, and his grace. So, I go to heaven. Excuse me, I go to hell because I want to go there. I choose to go there. I don't want Jesus in my life. So I choose the absolute absence of God's presence. Here's a really good quote from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a professor at Oxford in England, and he is the author of Narnia and a contemporary of Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings. C.S. Lewis was an atheist all of his adult life, but towards the end, when he was a professor at Oxford, he had this experience of conversion. And then he wrote many books to kind of like, you know, long parables. But one of the books was called The Great Divorce. And this is what he wrote in that book. There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And those to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done." All that are in hell, choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. See there? Therefore, people who go to hell, they go there because they want to go there. So friends, let's land the plane. In this parable of the dragnet, Christ Jesus, the King, He is like a dragnet. He brings you in. He welcomes you. Everyone from all kinds of ethnic nation, race. And that's one thing I really about Mosaic Church. We are multicultural, multi-ethnic, and we pursue that value because we want to be a showcase of the kingdom that is to come. In the kingdom above, when the kingdom comes down to new earth, in the book of Revelation, John sees this vision. People of all ethnicity, all kinds of group, race, and nationality, they are praising the King Jesus Christ. And He is pursuing. He wants you to receive His love and grace, and He wants you to love Him back, worship Him. Will you do that? Will you submit to His kingship? And also, currently, would you please consider the things that are keeping you from worshiping Jesus Christ as your King right here, right now, because heaven starts here, right? Already. Let nothing come between you and worshiping you from worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of the universe. At the end of the parable, Jesus asks the disciples, "Do you understand all these things?" They replied, "Yes." Do you understand the importance of this parable? Do you grasp what is hanging on the balance? Heaven and hell hang on the balance right here, right now. So will you commit to Christ? Will you kneel before Him? And will you declare that you are my King? And therefore, just like the parable last week, you will sell everything to obtain the treasure, which is Jesus Christ. Follow Him. Pray with me. Lord, my King, Christ, thank You for gathering us. Thank You for inviting us, calling our name. We are undeserving. And that's why we so readily receive and hold on to Your grace. Because we need it desperately. And having received Your grace and acceptance, now we obey You. Now we do all the acts of obedience as You have revealed to us. We love You. We serve You. We follow You. We trust You. In the name of Jesus, O Lord. And I pray that through our blessing, may others be caught in the dragnet as well. And Lord Jesus, use our bless, B-L-E-S-S, to bring our friends, our loved ones and friends, neighbors, co-workers, into Your kingdom. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, therefore, let's respond to the rich grace of Christ. Let us bring our first fruits and our tithe before the Lord, like you have heard last week. And if you haven't, you've got to receive that truth and grace. Kingdom of God is like a treasure. It's so worthy. There's so much value in this treasure that you are willing to sell everything you treasure. And that's why we bring first fruits, tithe. They all belong to the King. You do that as an act of worship, as an act of submission, as an act of trust, as an act of mission. Click Give Online button. Better yet, you can also set this as an automatic way of giving your first fruits and tithe. You can go to our website and do that as an act of worship. And if you're not a Christian, please do not sow. Please do not do that. Please do not do that. We want to make sure that you do the right thing for the right reason. We don't want you to do the right thing for the wrong reason, just like the Pharisees. So therefore, come to Christ first. I will see you next week, and we're going to continue on this journey of what heaven is like. Receive the parting blessing, therefore. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, both now and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen. See you next week.